Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for all the gifts that you give to us. And we pray, Father, in the times when we do not see the gift as it is, that you would continue to give us trust and faith to strengthen us, that we might trust in your gifts always. Bless us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was really hoping by the time that I preach this to you that I would be able to know definitively who the president is. I was really hoping that as we got to this point, I would have the lines drawn in the sand. I would know what positions to take. I would know what things to pray for that we might be able to keep, to pray for things that we would try to get rid of. That's not the case. We don't know yet, but we will soon. We will know definitively who the president is. But as I studied the gospel reading for today, I also realized something very important for me and probably for you. I realized my sin because I had made the government my enemy. The government, the president, the Congress, the red states, the blue states, I had drawn those lines already and I had made them my enemy, someone that I need to protect me and my interests from. That's sinful. God has given us a gift in government. God has given us many gifts. We call them the three estates. He's given us family. He's given us his church. He's given us family. And he's given us the government. All for good reason. To promote order. To continue to provide and to teach for God's people. And they all have their unique duties, they all have their unique places, and they are all, red or blue, gifts from God to serve us. Understanding earthly government as a good gift helps us to clarify what we owe to our government. And we're not talking taxes yet, but what do we owe to those leaders? What do we owe to the government that provides and watches over us? When we hear our Lord in the gospel reading for today, it helps us understand what we owe our leaders. It helps us understand our Christian responsibilities, no matter who the president is, no matter who the Congress is. It doesn't matter if you like or dislike the person holding the office. God has given us a responsibility and things that we owe to the president and to those who serve us. There are things that God has given us great gifts, and government is one of those gifts. You might remember 4 years ago when President Trump was elected, it was not long after that, there was a lot of people using the phrase, "not my president." You remember that? They wouldn't honor the president, they wouldn't honor the office. They behaved like spoiled children that didn't get their way. Dear saints, that's sinful. To not honor the office of president and the person that holds that office is sinful. The fourth commandment is very clear. It tells us that we are to honor those in authority over us. It doesn't say honor those in authority when they agree with you, honor those in authority when you like them, honor those in authority when they do what you want. It says honor those who are in authority over us. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus briefly touches on that same topic. It's no surprise when the Pharisees want to trap Jesus, what do they go after? They bring up the conversation of those things that always divide family and friends and communities and states. They come to Jesus and they ask him, "Tell us then, Jesus, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now remember, they weren't interested in foreign policy. They weren't interested in what's right and equitable to the people. They were looking for a way to trap Jesus so that they might kill him. That's all they were interested in. And Jesus takes the opportunity as they are there not to bite. He didn't ask them about what would be a just position for Caesar and what isn't. He didn't ask them about tax reform. Jesus comes back to the good gift of government and he says this: give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It's very clear. Our responsibility as God's children in this world is to honor the authorities that God has placed over us. Now, there are things that we owe the government that rules, protects, provides for us. The fourth commandment is clear: honor your father and mother. But Dr. Luther, when he writes the explanation, he brings that out even more clearly for us. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve them, obey them, love and cherish them. As Christians, God's law demands that we honor the authority placed over us. That works really well when the president is the one that you voted for. It works really well when all of the laws work in a way that promote the things that you believe in. It doesn't work as well when my personal independence is hindered. It doesn't work as well when the values that God has given to us are not honored by those in authority over us. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's means this: pay your taxes. Sit on jury duty without grumbling. That's not an easy one for anyone. It means pray for your elected officials. It means remembering that God has put all of these officials in place. No official is ever elected. No government ever reigns outside of the hand of God. It means giving the benefit of the doubt for those who are in those offices and not running immediately to conspiracy theories to demonize them and everything that they stand for. The government is not your savior. We need to hear that often. The government is not your savior, nor is it meant to be, but it is a gift. God gives us that gift of government to keep and promote order in his land. Now, our leaders, every one of them, are sinful men and women, and they will not always lead guided by God's word. They will make policies that will not be fair or just, all the more reason for us to pray for them. Whenever we bring the topic of government up, there's always another question that is kind of behind the question. And that question is this: what happens if the government makes a law that is against what God says? What happens if our government would follow the lead of China and say every family can only have 2 children and every child conceived after that has to be aborted? What happens if the government makes a law that says that no one over 75 is a value to society and they have to be euthanized? What do we do with that? We follow God, not man. Government is a gift, but when government, because of sinful men, oversteps its bounds and says something that is contrary or contradicts what God says in his law, we continue to follow God and his law for us. And we are ready for the consequences that will come because we have disobeyed the government. And in that, we continue to trust our Father in heaven that he would love us and guide us and protect us through all of these things that are so challenging when we stand against the government because they stand against God. When Jesus says, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's," he answers the question about paying taxes. He teaches us that government is truly a gift for us, that ruling authorities are there to keep and promote order. But we can't stop there. Remember what Jesus said afterwards? He gives us this clear understanding of the gift of government: give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And he also then continues, and he says, give unto God what is God's. If we owe the government that is full of sinful men and women honor and respect, what do we owe to a God who is just and holy and righteous? A God who is eternal and all-knowing and all-loving. What do we owe to God? God himself gives us the answer. He says, "Be holy as I am holy." That's what we owe God. When you talk about the president, when you talk about politics, when you're gathered around the Thanksgiving table and somebody is goading you with all of the things that they know will get you going, be holy and do not sin. When we live in this sinful world and the government does what it thinks is best, we know from God's word that they are a gift for us. That the government has been here to put into place, to lead and to protect and to guide us. Our Lord comes into our world as a gift for us, for salvation, and he places himself under the authority of the government. Places himself under the authority of sinful men and women who will execute him on the cross as a gift for you. And Jesus obeys. Even though their motives weren't right, even though what they did was not right, our Lord obeyed the laws that were placed upon him so that we would be forgiven. You see, even in times when God does things that we do not understand, he continues to love us, and he continues to work through sinful men and women in order to bring us his good gifts. When Jesus was on the cross, everything that we owe God, that being holy that we cannot do, was paid by Jesus' death, by his blood shed for you on the cross. When he said, "It is finished," your debt, everything that you owe, was paid completely. And now when we hear, "Give to God what is God's," it isn't an obligation. It isn't something we have to do to earn God's favor. It's out of joy. Even when I don't understand the direction of those who lead me, and I can't see any good in it, I trust that God, in his mercy, is working all things, even the election of a president and the ruling of a nation, for the good of those who love him. Even when it doesn't look that way. When we give back to God, we give to God out of love and trust, even when we don't understand what's going on. If you remember back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve ate from the tree that God said not to eat from, and sin came into the world and death followed. And shortly after that, if you read through the rest of that account, God ushered Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, and he put an angel there with a flaming sword so they would never enter again. And it looks like God is a vengeful God. It looks like he's punishing them for the sin that they did. But if you continue to read, you find out that God moved them out of the garden because in the center of the garden was the tree of eternal life. And had Adam and Eve stayed in the garden, and had they eaten from the tree of eternal life, they would be eternal again with their sin. And no way to stop that. And God, in his love and his mercy, when they did not understand them, moved them out to provide for them a Savior, to provide for them forgiveness and hope and promise. There's a lot of division in our country right now, maybe even in your families, over how you view the election of the president. Even in these things that we don't understand, God is still working. He still calls us to trust him and know that even in these things, he works for your good to continue to provide for us power and authority and protection. If we owe sinful government, sinful men and women, not sinful government, but if we owe sinful men and women who fit in these positions of elected officials, if we owe them honor and respect, can you imagine what we owe to a holy and a righteous God who gave up all of the glory of heaven and came down and took on this human flesh and blood and walked among us, put himself under the authority of government? The God who called a young girl back to life again, who called Lazarus out of the grave, who said, "Silent, be still," and calm the wind and the waves, who continued to feed the 5,000 and the 4,000 with just a few fish and pieces of bread. If we owe honor and respect to those who are sinful, imagine what we owe to God. Well, everything we owe to God, he's given to us. Faith to believe in his promises. And out of that, we trust. We trust that even in things we don't understand, God is still ruling and still reigning and still loves you and has forgiven you and promises to carry you through whatever situation we end up in. Thanks be to God for his gifts. Thanks be to God for government. Thanks be to God for family. And thanks be to God that he gives us this place where we hear his word and are strengthened, that we may continue to love and trust in him no matter what goes on in our lives in the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.